Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It has been a long time since we have had a Mary Washington healthcare doctor, and we have one today. Dr. Margaret Villers is here. Dr. Villers, great to have you here. Good morning.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It is. We have done during these COVID days. We've done a few by phone, but it's great to have you in studio. You're with Mary Washington Medical Group, maternal fetal medicine. Dr. Margaret Villers here with Mary Washington Medical Group. How long have you been in the area?
So I've actually been at Mary Washington for the past year. We just celebrated my first year anniversary here.
Well, happy anniversary.
Well, thank you.
How'd you get into medicine and being a doctor? Was this something that started early on?
Oh, no. I was going to be a lawyer.
Whoa.
That was my life plan. Yeah.
How did that all then happen?
Yeah, and then I actually worked as a paralegal, and I decided I wasn't very happy.
So did you ever take the bar, or did you?
No.
You never
I
got
stopped
that far.
Before going to law school. I decided to take a break, see if I liked it or not, and it did not take me long to realize that I did not enjoy it.
So I guess was it too many books and cases and not enough people?
No, honestly, it didn't really have a collegial atmosphere. You know, everybody's trying to get one over on everybody else, and you know, they're always looking for the edge and how to find a loophole.
Okay.
And I just found it very competitive. And so honestly, I actually had to go back and take extra college classes so that I could actually go to medical school.
Okay.
So I kind of stumbled into it a little bit when I was trying to figure out what to do. And every day I love medicine. It's a great, you know, everybody kind of works together. We all work as teams with our patients, with each other. You know, we're always questioning, always looking for more. So it's just been a great career, and I've loved it.
Interesting. There's just that when that door closed and you didn't seem to want that, then you went the medicine way.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's still a lot of schooling.
It's a lot of schooling. It is a lot of schooling.
So how did you zero in on then what type of medicine you were going to study?
Yeah, so same thing, like I never thought I was going to be a doctor. I never thought I was going to be an OBGYN either. You know, you start medical school and you're like, oh, well, OBGYNs work really awful hours because baby comes in the middle of the night.
Right.
And, you know, frankly, the malpractice is horrible and it's a really disgusting part of the human body. And then you realize babies are really, really cool and women are wonderful patients to take care of. And when I did my medical rotations in OBGYN, I just fell in love with it. And that's when I realized I couldn't do anything else.
Speaking of, I've always wondered this about, you know, when babies come at all hours. So when you know that, I guess you, in many cases, not always, you kind of have an idea. But so you're kind of on call then?
Oh, yeah.
When
you
start getting close?
So it depends. You know, most of the time now groups will sort of share call. But now when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do, my, you know, one of my mentors in medical school is like, just remember, OBGYNs, they have assigned beds in the hospital. You will be seeing it. You will be.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is a demanding career, but, you know, I think we all do it because, you know, there's just nothing better. So.
Have you delivered babies in the dead of night?
Of course I have. So I kept teasing all my patients last week when we had the full moon and the hurricane coming that we were bound to have a whole boatload of babies. So
interesting. Very interesting. Dr. Margaret Villers here with Mary Washington Medical Group. So as far as where'd you go to medical school and do all that?
Yeah, so I went to medical school at Georgetown.
Okay.
And then I finished up my residency at Duke. I actually practiced as a general OBGYN in Charleston, South Carolina for about 7 years. And then I decided to go back to fellowship to become a maternal fetal medicine specialist.
How'd you end up in Fredericksburg then?
I'm from Virginia. So my family's from Virginia Beach. So when I finished up my fellowship, I was looking for coming back to Virginia.
When you talk about working with women, especially with what you do, there's excitement, but there's also always worry about what's...
Well, and I always tell people, you know, they're like, oh, especially as I've gotten into more high-risk pregnancies, You know, so either I'm dealing with the happiest day of somebody's life or utter tragedy. And it's, you know, there's very little in between. And so it really is a very emotional, you know, specialty because these women allow you to share these moments of their lives that they never forget, whether it's good or bad.
Maternal fetal medicine, I know, and we'll get into this as we go along, just the technology that how things have gone just amazes me. I know with my kids being my oldest daughter being born in the late 80s, looking at like sonograms now compared to them, it's just not the same.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, the things that we can see and find out, and, you know, it's amazing because you really can count fingers and toes and see features. Yeah. But then we're also identifying defects in the baby's hearts at, you know, 18 weeks of pregnancy, which, you know, at that point, the heart's the size of a quarter. So it's, you know, the things that we're able to do now, you know, really have, I think, just opened up a lot of opportunities.
I would think also things have changed a lot for you just even since you were in medical school, that you're always having to kind of refresh yourself on.
Oh, yes. Things are always changing, you know, but not just new technologies, but also new treatments, new therapies, new diseases, you know, things that we had never recognized and now we have treatments for. So, yeah.
It does. Whenever I've had friends who have found, like you say, you know, even at 18 weeks, find things. Just always the fact that you can do that, what a gift that is.
Yeah. Well, and then the genetic testing we have now that we can, you know, we used to have very simple genetic tests, and now they're so complicated that we really can diagnose genetic disorders, you know, early on in pregnancy. You know, things at 12 weeks even. So.
When a woman finds out she's pregnant, I guess it's important to get the ball rolling on coming in, seeing you, and regular checkups.
Yeah, and I don't see all women. I tend to see women with, you know, either medical complications, you know, or fetal complications. But yeah, we usually start because we can identify problems as early as 12 weeks. And I said we can identify genetic defects that early. You know, which gives people time to sort of, you know, figure out how they're going to deal with it and what kinds of information that they want to learn about it.
If someone wants to get in touch with you and in the practice there, what's the best way to do that?
So actually, we're referral based, just because that's how maternal fetal medicine works. So basically, their OBGYN would, you know, send them to me. And there are certain women that I see routinely. If you're over age 35, if you have a pre-existing medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, you know, those are the things that they routinely at least come see us for consults.
Maternal fetal medicine, our focus this morning with Dr. Margaret Villars. We will take a break and return and continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
The best time to buy new furniture. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Margaret Villars in this morning. She's with Mary Washington Medical Group, Maternal Fetal Medicine. We're talking about just the technology, Dr. Villars, and how that's changed. How has, because when you talk about being able to, you know, at 12 weeks being able to diagnose things, that really is something. And you just think that, I guess, you know, some of that's the equipment and just all the, and it's just, it's amazing to think about it.
You know, a lot of it does have to do with sort of advances in computers and technology, and our ultrasound machines are spectacular.
Yeah.
But as I said, so much, you know, the field of genetics is changing by leaps and bounds. And, you know, tests that we used to have an amniocentesis to determine things initially, now we can do with maternal blood. And those sorts of tests keep expanding and proliferating, and we're being able to diagnose more about the baby. And as I said, this helps parents, you know, learn and discuss and say, okay, this is what's coming. We have to prepare for it. On the other hand, if we see abnormalities, sometimes we can give some reassurance and say, well, we know for sure it's not Down syndrome or it's not something else.
Yeah. And I remember years ago, things like amniocentesis, a lot of people were hesitant because there were some dangers with those kind of that
Honestly,
kind of test.
Most of them now, because we've gotten so proficient at doing them, they're. I usually tell people it's not going to be any worse than some menstrual cramps, and it lasts about a minute. It's a very quick and easy procedure, and it really is still, for many times, our fallback absolute diagnosis. So I really do try to convince women not to be afraid of it. But, you know, now it used to be we didn't have any steps before we got there, and now we actually have multiple different ways that we can try to solve the problem before getting to that spot.
Well, and the other thing, since you're referred, I'm sure, I mean, and you've got a great personality to do what you do. But if I'm, you know, if my wife and I are coming to see you, all of a sudden, this is off the path a little bit. And
right.
You almost have to be able to be as reassuring as you can.
So many times. So I take care of basically three different kinds of patients. The first are going to be women with chronic medical problems, diabetes, hypertension, mm-hmm. you know, rheumatoid arthritis, things like that. Things that will make a pregnancy complicated. Most of them are aware going into pregnancy that they need a little bit more attention paid. The second group is going to be the ones who, exactly right, something is picked up on an outside ultrasound, they're concerned, there's an abnormality with the baby. These parents are incredibly nervous and scared, and they don't even know what some of the words that people are throwing around are. So a lot of it is kind of, you know, lots of education, lots of reassurance, especially when we're able to say, you know what, your baby's normal. That's great.
Yeah.
Then the third type of patient are those who develop complications during their pregnancies, preterm labor, women who end up hospitalized for long periods of time. And that's another patient type too. That's just very nervous and anxious. They want the best for their baby, you know, and they want some reassurance. And, you know, it's hard, you know, basically they're just there for one day at a time, you know, hoping that each day goes well.
Well, and I'm sure the people that do come to see it, it's probably always good to bring your mother or your mother-in-law or a husband or boyfriend in with you, just because it's one of those situations where, like you say, the words are coming and I'm not always hearing what you're saying.
It's kind of been nice during COVID that we still allow our patients to bring a significant other with them, because you're right. It's really awkward to try to explain to somebody when their husband or boyfriend or mother is on the phone, you know, exactly what's going on. So, you know, my office has really taken a lot of precautions during the time period, during our COVID era, but that's the one thing that we still felt was pretty essential.
Speaking of the whole COVID era, I just can't imagine how, I mean, all of us have changed, but especially you and what you do, like you said, what you have to do really face-to-face is so important.
Well, it is, and also, women coming to me know that they're high risk for a reason. So they want to make sure that, you know, we're taking appropriate precautions to keep them safe, you know, as much as everything else we're doing. So, you know, as I said, we've been very cautious in how we see patients, how we deal with things, and, you know, we do lots of jokes. My staff is wonderful and very supportive. We talk about how every baby book now will have a mask in it. So.
Yes.
One of my sonographers was making and giving away blue or pink masks, depending on, you know, the gender of the baby. So we've been trying to have some fun with it.
Did you do a lot virtually, at least for a while?
I really didn't, because so much of what I do, you know, we sit, review the ultrasounds,
right.
And then talk one-on-one with a patient. But but my genetic counselor and my diabetic educator are both doing virtual visits.
I know when I had to have just a routine test, and not even over in the hospital itself, but over at medical imaging. And I was even, you know, just kind of nervous of walking in and just looking around and just feeling it. Just it was a weird time.
It is definitely it's gotten better, but it was definitely a very strange time when you'd see somebody in the hallway and if they weren't wearing a mask and you'd want to cover up your face or wash your hands or was, you know, I think, you know, as we've all gotten a little bit more comfortable and know more about it, it's becoming kind of the normal part of our day now.
Well, I'm sure especially in the early days when so many things were being canceled or moved around and especially in the medical world, that the fact that someone could come and to see you, maybe you would be a little bit nervous, but that had to be reassuring that you still wanted to see them.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, as I said, we got a lot of people who were like, oh, this is great because my husband hasn't been able to come to my prenatal appointments. And so it's wonderful that he was able to come to this one. So as I said, we did offer a little bit of, you know, try to be normal and, you know, show pretty pictures of the babies if we can, things like that.
I'm sure people have a lot of questions. When you, the questions, you probably get a lot of questions, and people probably, I would think that even sometimes the appointment might even be longer just because they want to keep either being reassured or hearing you talk.
Well, that's actually kind of the nice thing for me is that we're sort of, I have much built-in longer appointments than most OBGYNs do because I'm doing something more than just routine prenatal care. So a lot of times it can be just quick. Oh, guess what? Your baby's weight looks perfect. You're growing.
Yeah.
Keep going on. But you're right. Sometimes we'll have very long appointments where we're talking about, all right, so if this happens, these are the warning signs that you need to be looking out for. You know, if this happens, you know, this is what you should expect next. So we do, I try to oftentimes give patients sort of a sense of what may happen just to kind of so that they know, yeah, I've heard this before. It's not coming out of the blue. So.
And there's always the, and especially I'm sure with what you do, there are the people who come in and have they been looking at the internet, and
oh,
they've been
yes.
studying that, and I have found that that just really will can work you up, and sometimes you don't need to be worked
especially
up,
especially when you're Googling anything about babies or pregnancies. Usually, I do have some websites I try to steer my patients towards, you know, just to be like, okay, this is trustworthy. You can get some good information from me. Because I love it that my patients come in engaged with questions and want to know. But you're right. A lot of it is sort of like, okay, so this is what we actually know. This, you know, you've probably just been hearing some rumors of. It's been very difficult, I think, with COVID because we really started out with no knowledge. So they were looking to me for answers. And there was a long time where I'm like, I just don't know what the answer is. It's been nice as we've been getting more and more information that, you know, I can kind of reassure them now that, yeah, we kind of know what's going to happen to you or your baby.
Well, and it's, especially in these days with masks, you probably don't even know how some of your patients look.
Well, it's funny. Sometimes we'll see things on the ultrasound and we're like, so is that an abnormality or does that baby just look like its parent? You know, there's everybody always has questions about heads. You know, oh my God, that head looks really big and round and that
right.
looks like a problem. And I usually look at either, you know, thankfully if there's two parents, I'm like, it's your head. You're the fault.
Okay. I have always wondered that though. I do look at that too and think, oh, I wonder if there's a, you know, when someone will show you, hey, here's the picture.
Yeah.
And you don't say anything, but you think. But that's interesting that's
Oh no, there's definitely some findings on, you know, like hands or shapes of noses or things like that. And usually, especially with the shapes of noses, I'm like, do you mind taking down your mask so I can see your nose? Oh, the baby's gonna get your nose.
That's interesting that you can tell those kind of things.
Yeah.
Because even as clear as sonograms are today, I still look at, because someone will say, look, there's, you know, there's a hand and there's, and I'm looking at it even now and think, I should be able to see that, but I'm not.
No, and that's, I have patients who will afterwards say, can you actually, I know that they have arrows, but I'm really not sure what the arrow is pointing at.
Right.
You know, and you're right. To us, it's such second nature that when we look at these things and it makes sense to us. But
I know, you just feel like you need to go along. And do that. Well, I will say, Dr. Fillers, and just talking without for about a half hour now, you are much better in this role than you would be if we were having a law conversation. I think this is you really
law
are
would be
set
dry and
this.
Boring.
you really are set. You really are set for this. But this really is when you think about what you're doing with maternal fetal medicine, you almost have to be able to. To relate to relate to how people are on their level, and sometimes they need to talk to somebody like
you.
Oh yeah,
well, I mean, everybody comes. You're right. Everybody comes from different places, different perceptions. Some babies are wanted, some babies are not. You know, some pregnancies are surprises when you're 42 years old, and some of them are surprises when you're 17 years old. So you know, it's all learning how to, you know, allay people's fears. Give them a sense of comfort and security and what's going on and really help just guide them through being a healthy mom.
So do you wear a white jacket and all that kind
of
stuff?
I actually don't. I'm kind of an anti-white jacket person.
Because I didn't think, that's why I asked you, just because I thought you don't seem to be the normal.
I feel like it's too stiff. It's too much a barrier between me and the patient. So I usually just wear normal clothes and just sit down and we just start chatting. So
So with what you do, do you just wear a mask, or do you do one of the shields?
No, usually in the office I just wear the mask.
Okay.
So, yeah, I know when we all have different masks for different days, different personalities.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of fun. You know, everybody used to pick out socks because they had personality.
Right.
Now we're picking out our masks.
I know, and it looks like we're going to be picking out masks for a good long time.
I think so.
So let's just get used to, we need to get used to that. Where's your office located?
So I am located just right near Mary Washington Hospital Center. It's the Women's Imaging Center.
Okay.
So we're up there on the second floor.
Dr. Margaret Villers here with Mary Washington Medical Group with maternal fetal medicine. Much more coming up. We'll take a break and come back. On News Talk 1230 WFVA, it's now 8:29.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Margaret Villers here with Mary Washington Medical Group with maternal fetal medicine. One of the things we have not talked about, Dr. Villers, is just the facility there at Mary Washington and what Mary Washington is able to do. We are so fortunate in this area to have the care and we're fortunate to have you. But
well, thank you. Mary Washington Hospital, with the combined maternal fetal medicine services and the neonatology care, we're basically the largest tertiary care center between the DC suburbs and Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a complicated pregnancy, if your baby has complications, Mary Washington is absolutely where you need to come.
No, it is. You don't have to travel, and I mean, and especially with what you do, you don't want to have to go to a Charlottesville or Fairfax or you name it.
Exactly, and there are certain things that we cannot care for here, but most of those we can identify in advance and set up referrals for you to deliver at another location. But I talk to the NICU on a monthly basis in all of our complicated cases. We touch base every single week. We have great communication. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that we've seen some truly remarkable outcomes with just really healthy mothers and healthy babies. That is just thanks to the care of just the combined group of the OBGYNs, the nursing staff, and the neonatologists.
When someone is dealing with you, Dr. Villers, I guess it's important also to have, do you want to have the mother to be in as healthy a state as she can be, especially if it's a problem pregnancy.
Exactly. And I think, that's what we're seeing now about the rising rates of maternal mortality. We're all worried about moms who don't survive childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
So really, when we look at, what's out there, having diabetes be under excellent control, having your blood pressures managed. And then really, the one thing that, we tend not to talk about, but it's just as important, is women who are overweight or obese. If you start a pregnancy and you're overweight with a body mass index of 40, you're at high risk for lots of different complications. So we really encourage women to be, healthy as they can before they get pregnant.
That's a good, that is a good word. And we often don't think about that.
But no, we don't.
When you get into the situation where you are having to come to you, it's so important to be able to at least be healthy yourself to give the baby a better chance.
That is absolutely right. Many of these things can be not necessarily avoided, but made not as severe, depending on how you have cared for your health prior to becoming pregnant. And we know lots of pregnancies are surprises, but for people who are thinking of getting pregnant within the next year or so, simply losing, 10% of your body weight actually not only improves your chances of getting pregnant,
mm-hmm.
but actually improves the chance that you're going to have a healthy pregnancy.
And then while you're pregnant, I guess, to be able to, you know, to keep up and doing as much exercise and eating right and all of that.
Oh, yeah. There's so many myths out there about what women can do and can't do during pregnancy. And honestly, I tell my patients, whatever you were doing prior to pregnancy, you can keep doing, except one, you're not allowed to fall on your abdomen. You know, I actually saw somebody the other day who's a marathon runner. And she's been running her entire pregnancy.
Huh.
And honestly, she did it before she was pregnant. She's done it through pregnancy. She's healthy and the baby's healthy. Women have to adjust to changes in their center of gravity and things like that. And I usually tell them, you know, when it's 100 degrees outside, you really need to be drinking lots of water and maybe dialing things back a little bit. But really, you know, being active during pregnancy is, you know, one of the best things that you can do.
I am sure that you also deal with a lot of old wives' tales.
Oh, yes. I deal with a lot. Well, and, you know, so many of them, you know, we don't necessarily know where they came from.
Right.
But, you know, it's certainly easy things to keep bringing up. Like, you know, we now no longer recommend bed rest for most pregnant women. You know, they're like, oh, you need to go on bed rest because your blood pressures are high. Well, maybe you just need to stop working because your work is a very stressful place. And that's what's making your blood pressures high. So, you know, again, we rarely tell women to stay on bed rest anymore, you know, keeping them active, but then finding ways that they can continue to stay healthy.
Well, you mentioned a few minutes ago, and it's funny that you're here because I tended to think that women dying during childbirth, that was something that happened back in, you know, the 1800s. But late, I've seen several recent stories about numbers that really surprised me, or stories, and I thought, I didn't know that was still a thing.
Oh, it's absolutely still a thing. You know, the most common reason that women die in childbirth, a lot of it has to do with hypertension problems, whether they have a stroke or a heart attack or something like that. You know, we still have women who die of excessive bleeding and hemorrhage at time of delivery. You know, and, you know, that's what, you know, Mary Washington, similar to most of the other hospitals, we've really kind of upped our game at recognizing these complications early so that we can treat them appropriately. You know, we really have great sort of standards of care that we can go through. And when somebody's like, okay, this is too much blood loss, we actually have a protocol where we just kind of start going through it, and really has changed outcomes for us.
Whenever I've had friends that have had to deal with somebody like you, I have always thought that babies are in a good place when you're going over to Mary Washington. You are, and just talking to you has upped that even more in my mind. That really in the fact. In so many areas, anytime doctors come in here, everyone always talks about how everyone gets together in this area. And that's really important,
well,
too.
It's a team.
Yeah.
You know, it's a team effort, especially when you're dealing. You know, I tell my mothers, a healthy mom is a healthy baby. So if mom's getting sick, obviously baby's getting sick. So we all need to be vigilant about what some of those early signs are. You know, and I'll have a nurse will come to me and she's like, there's just something not right about this patient today. Can you take a little extra time, talk to her a little bit more, figure out what's going on? And, you know, just that extra attention to detail, I think, is truly what makes us stand apart.
I guess in sometimes you do have to be like that. You kind of have to be a detective sometimes to talk about. So tell me what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. Especially because so many times women just, that's just the third trimester of pregnancy. Oh, this is normal. Oh, I've always had that. You're like, it's not always normal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, preeclampsia is, you know, one of the most common complications of pregnancy. It's uncontrolled maternal high blood pressure.
Okay.
And sometimes it can start as simple as I just all of a sudden have been vomiting for the past 2 days and I have this horrible headache. You know, and they're like, I just have a bug. And you're like, yeah, but your blood pressure is too high and we're concerned about you.
I would think that one of the things that you have to really, in all of you there that are there, when you have the person who comes in and just feels like, oh, it's just, you know, this is really tough. And when you get them through that, has to be just a great feeling.
Oh, it is a really great feeling, especially if it's something that they've never heard of before because all of their friends had happy, uncomplicated pregnancies.
Right.
And they're like, wait a minute, I don't understand why this happened to me. You know, and a lot of times we don't know why it happened to them. But the most important thing is helping them understand why it happened, helping them know that they and their baby are going to be cared for, and really just giving them as lot of information as we can.
Because there's always a situation where someone will come in and, you know, there's always the well-meaning friend.
There's always the well-meaning friend.
Who says something that just, that shouldn't be said.
Yep. Oh, and yes, we deal with that. Or, you know, the well-meaning, you know, mother-in-law that will, you know, make comments and, you know. But we've all had that.
Well, you're much, you're much too old. That kind of thing. On the other hand, on the flip side, I guess the hardest thing is when there is the situations that there's little you can do.
And those are so hard because I don't like to take away parents' hope, because some that's all that they have is that hope, you know. And I may know that things aren't going to go well, but. You know, they're still dreaming of what life is going to be like with their baby. So not only do they have to adjust their dreams or mourn for their dreams, but, yeah. You know, having them, you know, it's a very difficult and very heart-wrenching. We have an amazing bereavement service. We're one of the few community hospitals actually in the country that has this sort of service. And we really reach out to women who've just had sort of bad outcomes. Whether it really was a baby that didn't survive, whether it's a baby that now has significant medical complications,
yeah.
You know, and we really offer them support. And what gives me a little bit of fulfillment is when they come back to try again for that next pregnancy, you know, and I know that they're strong enough to do it, and I want to be there and help them so that maybe the next time we have a different outcome.
Well, when I said a few minutes ago that when a baby's at Mary Washington are in a good place, Mothers are too.
Yes, we have, as I said, we have basically anything that we could need. We have, hopefully we'll never need cardiothoracic surgeons or neurosurgeons, but we certainly have them. And,
yeah.
You know, they've been useful when we've had moms with, you know, unusual medical diagnoses. Just the fact that we have them here locally. I don't have to send them to Richmond or Charlottesville to figure out what's going on. You know, we have just a really depth of resources.
Dr. Margaret Villers here with the Mary Washington Medical Group Maternal Fetal Medicine. Where do you see the future of maternal fetal medicine going at Mary Washington?
So I actually am going to be having another partner who's joining me in about a month. You know, so hopefully that will just mean that we can certainly expand services.
Yeah.
I know that both she and I really are very much engaged on how to improve safety for patients at the hospital. And in the outpatient setting and things like that. So we're really hoping to sort of help even take Mary Washington up another notch. You know, every time we think that we're about as high as we can go, we know we can find something else to strive for. And so I think that's our goal, is just to keep making things better for women and children of Central Virginia.
Well, and the person who's coming to be in your practice, they're coming to, I mean, this is, it does really sound like this is it's a very unique office and a very unique practice.
It is. We just have a great staff here. And then honestly, I just have a lot of support from the local OBGYNs. So we all work well as a team, you know, just to really try to have the best outcomes.
Well, it's important for them to know that, you know, I can send them to Dr. Villers and she'll take care of you. And, you know, she's perky, she's got energy, and she'll look out after you. Because you want to hear that, because all of a sudden, when, you know, your husband or boyfriend comes home and you have to say, something's come up and we're going to have to go see. And, you know, those are just that, you know, that your heart kind of stops, or you just have a funny feeling in your stomach when you hear that, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's never easy when, you know, I have to sit with a parent and say, you know, we see something abnormal on the ultrasound.
Right.
Or something abnormal has come up with your blood testing. You know, and so how you couch that, what you say. And again, like, this is the wonderful thing, is that we have resources so that I can say, look, that we can get you to the pediatric cardiologist who can explain what's going on with your baby's heart. We can have you seen by a pediatric surgeon who can help you figure out what needs to be done after delivery.
Yeah. Now, just to have that and to be able to all of a sudden say that, and I can see.
Well, and also they, you know, I'm diagnosing them with things that they've never heard of before.
Right.
So when I say, oh, actually, this one's not that bad, and I see a couple of these a year, and then suddenly they're like, oh, I'm not that unique.
Right.
That they actually have seen this. They know what to do with it. It makes it a little less scary.
Because, you know, your friends are generally going to go, I've never heard of that.
Yes.
And that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. Help at all. And especially when the patients, when I'm like, okay, I'm going to spell this for you. And you put together a bunch of vowels and consonants that don't look like a word. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. No, it's like saying you're going to take whatever you mentioned some medicine and you yes. have no idea.
Yeah.
No, and you've done it today. You've mentioned a couple of things today and I was about ready to say, now what is that? And you wouldn't explained it. So I thought that's just like you do with your patients.
Exactly. It's kind of, that's my standard of care.
Well, it's so interesting to hear just the advances and again to have the advances here are
right.
I think a lot of us don't realize it, and then all of a sudden you have a friend or yourself and you're dealing with it, you're glad it's here.
Well, I mean, honestly, the neonatologist will take care of babies 23 weeks and above. You know, these mm-hmm. are super tiny babies that barely weigh a pound. Yet they can care for these babies without having to necessarily send them, you know, an hour, 2 hours away to a different hospital.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how we can offer the full scope here.
Dr. Margaret Viller is here with Mary Washington Medical Group, Maternal Fetal Medicine. We'll take a break and wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Margaret Viller is here with Mary Washington Medical Group with maternal fetal medicine. We were just talking off the air, and I don't know that I would even thought about this. All these hot days and hot and humid days, if you're pregnant, what do you suggest?
Oh, yeah. Lots of hydration.
Yeah.
Pregnant women are prone to heat stroke just kind of due to the physiology of pregnancy. So they're going to start having symptoms far sooner than they think they would. So honestly, I've just recommended everybody this year go buy themselves a kiddie pool. Fill it with water and sit outside the backyard.
And I guess you carry around one of those big water bottles and
yep, just hydrate all the time. So,
well, it's fun talking with you, Dr. Villers, because you can tell. I mean, you really like what you do.
I do. I love my job.
You just just really seem to connect with people and to be able to help someone.
Yeah. No. It's just such a vulnerable time in people's lives. But we get this very, very tight relationship, and then all of a sudden the babies come, and it's like, goodbye, see you later.
Yeah.
Come on back if you get pregnant again. So it's this very odd relationship.
Yeah, it is, because, you're dealing, and then they go on with their lives, and maybe you hear from them, and maybe you don't.
Exactly. We certainly love getting follow-up baby pictures and family pictures and things like that. But no, it's great. You know, my entire staff is also, you know, we've been started having little celebrations, because we're all wearing masks. We feel like, okay, if we're going to be goofy, we might as well be goofy. So when people are the week before they're going to deliver, we have little celebrations and we just have a good time.
That's fun. It sounds like a very unique office in a situation that you're dealing with sometimes unique things, good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun to have a doctor talk about having fun.
Yeah, and I think we do that specifically because what we deal with can sometimes be so heavy that we really just have to find the things to celebrate every day.
Yeah. So any pro tips for patients? I think I know one. I wasn't even going to ask you, but when we just talked about being healthy, seems to be something that is kind of universal for everybody.
Yeah, it really is. And just, you know, also it's just a lot of common sense. You know, people tend to throw common sense out the window when they're pregnant. And sometimes I'm just, you know what, just kind of listen to your body. Maybe you're doing too much. Maybe you're being overactive. You know, just think of some common sense.
So I guess you're really, the other thing is, as we have talked this morning, I mean, your philosophy of care, I guess, is just take the advice
I believe strongly in lots of education. You know, and just giving the patient whatever information that they need. You know, some people want a lot, some people don't want a lot. But, you know, that way I feel like whatever decisions they make, you know, and how they go for the rest of their pregnancy, you know, they've heard everything that they need to hear.
And if you hear that you're going to go see Dr. Villers, you don't have to maybe stress about it. And especially And you hear this. I mean, when I've had medical situations, and you know, people will say, I don't know if you want to be treated locally. You do want to be treated locally.
You do want to be treated locally. We have great doctors here who really are all trying their best. And we have a great team. And I think we all really, we think of ourselves as a team that all works together.
No, you always see that. And that's how you want it. Because a lot of times, I guess, when you are talking with other doctors, you get ideas or it gives you another way that you haven't thought about it.
Exactly. Well, and also patients really get frustrated when the doctor turns to them and said, what did the endocrinologist tell you? Because I haven't gotten any of their notes, you know? So,
right.
You know, we really try not to, you know, if there's things going on, we all try to reach out so that we're all taking care of our moms to the best of our ability.
Well, the person who's coming, who's going to get to work with you, is coming to a great place, and they will like it. And if they don't like you, then they weren't the right
Well, I actually think, you know, Dr. Lakey, who's coming, she and I probably have very similar personalities, so I think we're going to work well together.
The two of you would be then for a great show sometime. We should have you in and do both of that. If people want to find out more, and you said people come to you by you're referred, mm-hmm. so you're you're over in the hospital.
Yep,
area.
Yes, I am. And you know, most of the OBGYNs, you know of me, so if patients ask. You know, they usually give, you know, good recommendations.
Oh, and online, I saw nothing but good recommendations for you. Interesting time in these COVID days, too.
We're just waiting for this all to pass. We just are going to all be patient and keep wearing our masks.
And that is the thing. We do all need to keep wearing our masks because who knows, maybe a year from now or so we don't. But right now we do, and that's the way it goes.
Yep.
Dr. Villers, thank you for coming in. This has been so much fun.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
The community is much better off since you put law school aside and came here about a year
yes.
ago.
Yes. No, it's this is definitely the career choice for me.
Dr. Margaret Villers is with Mary Washington, the medical group with maternal fetal medicine. And thank you again for coming in and hope to have you back sometime. You were a great guest. This is great, great, great information.
Thank you.
That is it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening. We will see you in the morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. The financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.